What I want to do is, because we like talking a little bit about the parsha also in the context of the Rachaim. So first of all, Rachaim said this principle that we just learned yesterday, that the nisayon of a person is not necessarily a nisayon to test him, but it's a nisayon to bring out what's his kochos. And once we know what his inner potential is, that becomes now concretized, that becomes his personality, that becomes his makeup, and now he's able to pass that on to his children, to the next generations. And that was the purpose of the Akedah, is that now we have within us the characteristic of Avram Avinu, that we are able to be Moshe Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, now is the purpose of the Nisayon, and that's why he's referred to in the Nisayon as Avraham Avinu. That's what we said yesterday. I want to add, we what? Come in. So the I want to say one other pshat that we mentioned actually a while ago. It's another pshat in the parasha based on a different Ruach Chaim. I think it's in the third parak. Okay, and we mentioned it, but I want to mention it because it's powerful, and you know, whoever didn't hear it yet will hear it. Whoever heard it once will be reviewed. So the question, the famous question is, which, you know, is that since Avram Avinu heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, go shecht your son. So the question is, at that point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself told him, go shecht your son, how can we consider that such a crazy, terribleness, hard nisayon, if he himself heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, go shecht your son. He himself heard it. We probably think to ourselves, if we were to hear the words from Hashem himself, go shecht, he was a Navi, he's not a fool. He's not, I'm hearing voices. This is a Navi over here. He knows that Hashem told him it, right? So Hashem told him straight out, go shecht your child. So How do you understand the Nisayon? So we spoke out a pshat from the Rachaim, and it fits right into a glove to the two Mishnayos we just learned, with the Asar Ma'amarim and the Nisyonos, okay? So listen to this, it's great. We said that the Asar Ma'amarim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu started the world in a very sublime way, and each world is a little bit more physical than the next. But the Nisham of the person travels through all the worlds, right? The neshama of the person is connected up Shin Shamayim, and it goes all the way, finds itself in the physical world. And the body of the person is like the shoe that holds the neshama, okay? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner explained so how does prophecy work? The way prophecy works is that your neshama is, Hashem talks to the neshama. He's not talking to the body, he's talking to the neshama. So really, he's talking to the neshama up there, and the message that Hashem told the neshama up there passes through the whole neshama as it stretches from the old upper worlds into this world. And eventually, the message that the neshama heard comes into the guf, and the person picks up the message as a prophet. And that's why a prophet's supposed to go to sleep, because he's really not supposed to allow the guf, not supposed to allow the body to kind of add static to the message. The message is a neshama. That's why a prophet has to be a very high level, because a prophet has to be a person that can understand what his neshama is hearing, right? He has to be very connected to his neshama. And the neshama has to be very pure, because the neshama is getting messages from Shemayim, and it's bringing that message all the way through the stretched neshama. The neshama is being stretched from Shemayim all the way into this world until finally is inside the guf. And then he's hearing that prophecy. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, that Chazal say, if you notice in the psukim in this week's parasha, it says Vayomer Elav Avraham, Avraham. The pasuk says Avraham, Avraham. But if you look in the Chumash, there's actually a line. Let me put this here on the Chumash. There's actually a line between the first time it says the word Avraham and the second time it says the word Avraham. And the question is, what's the purpose of that line? So it says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and by the way, when it says the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says Moshe, Moshe, there's no line between. So Chazal make a big deal. Oh, Moshe, the two Moshes, there's no line in between. The two Avrams, there is a line in between. What's it say? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says like this. He says that the first Avram is the neshama in its purest state. Hashem, I'm talking to Avram. I'm talking to you up here. Hashem says, I'm talking to you up here. Right? Thank you. right here in Shemaim, I'm talking to you. That's Vayomer Elav Avraham, right? I'm talking to you, Avraham. Hello, you hear me? Right? I'm talking to you, Neshama. But there's another level, which is now that message has to come down all the way. I'm trying to find where it says it. I don't see it right now. It has to come all the way from that original message of Avraham into the Avraham in this world. So Chazal said there was a little line between Avraham and Shemaim and Avraham down here. The Avraham down here wasn't 100% fully unaffected by the fact that there was physicality. He was physical. Avraham was physical to the degree, and therefore his prophecy was a little bit, there was a line in between. There was a line between the first Avraham, when Hashem gave the message to Avraham, and the second Avraham, when it came all the way and translated into this world. However, by Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no line. Same exact message that Moshe Rabbeinu got in Shemayim from Hashem, that's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu heard down here. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have any hefsek between him in his physical state and in Shemayim. So when Moshe Rabbeinu got prophecy, when he said it over, he said it over like this. He said over the prophecy the same way he got it. But every prophet says, this is the Maral Diskin says, every prophet, says the Maral Diskin, when he gets a prophecy, it's a little bit tainted by his guf, because the prophecy was given to him in his Shemayim Neshama, but then it brings it down into the guf, and he's saying it out of his guf. So like Gedalia Shor says, the same way that you will, if you're wearing red glasses, everything you see will be red. And if you're wearing green glasses, everything you see will be green, even though it's not a green message, but you're seeing it as green. If the prophet is a Baal Gaiva, then he's going to understand that then his neshama down here is a little bit tainted. So therefore, when he hears the message, he's hearing it a little confused with some static. Okay? If the person has different bad midos, he's going to hear it with some static. Moshe Rabbeinu was perfect, and that's why he heard the prophecy perfectly. Now, he says like this. This is the Knesh. Avram Avinu, since he had a little bit of a line in between the two Avrams, so Avram Avinu had a certain Nisayon. You know why? Because when Hashem told him to shecht his son, that was how Hashem told it to him up in Shemayim. But in this world, he could have, if he wasn't honest with himself, he wasn't perfect in the midos, you know how he could have understood it? You know how, yeah, shechter son means to kill him. You know what killing means? Killing him means make him blind. So I'll make him blind. You know, Hashem said, kill me, son. Oh, yeah, but killing means make him poor, a poor man. It's like he's dead, so I'm going to take away all his money. I'll keep him poor for the rest of his life.
If he mixed up Ishmael with Yitzhak. He could understand it that way too, you know?
Right, he could have done. Wait, why? Because the prophecy didn't come out the way he was heard in Shemayim. He heard it in Shemayim over here, but then it traveled all the way through the world into this world. By the time it got to this world, it's not the same prophecy necessarily. So Avram had a huge nisayon because he needed to overcome the possibility of reinterpreting the prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not like that. Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was perfect. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu would never have the nisayon of reinterpreting any prophecy. So this concept of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, I wanted to share with us because it's relevant to the parasha. It's relevant to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And it's also the concept that we spoke about, that the 10 worlds, because the 10 worlds, it's true, there's 10 worlds, there's Asar Maram, but our neshama, like we said, exists in all of them. And the way Nevuah works is that a person can reach the level that Hashem is speaking to their neshama in the purest world, and then the message comes down to this world. And the job of a prophet is to overcome the nisyonos of physicality. Okay? He's got to overcome the nisayon of physicality to the point that when he hears the prophecy, he's hearing it in its purest state. Do you guys remember, by the way, how that played into Korach? Remember that part? This is a little off topic, but it's just amazing part from the Maral Diskin. The Maral Diskin says, that when it says that there was never a prophet like Moshe, Lakum Navi Yisrael Kamoshe. There was never a Jewish prophet like Moshe, but there was a non-Jewish prophet that was great like Moshe, which is Korach, Bilam. Bilam was a Rasha, Merusha, he was a terrible person. He had the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. It makes no sense. How could that be? So it's an amazing work from the Maral Diskin. Maral Diskin says is that Hashem did not want to give Korach the opportunity, Bilam the opportunity to reinterpret the prophecy that he gave him into the way he would want to say it. So for that moment, Hashem brought Bilam up to a higher level and he says, you know what? I'm going to make you be prophesize like the way Moshe prophesizes. You're not going to take my prophecy and reinterpret it through your tumah and through your terrible goof. I'm going to raise you. I'm going to give you a, I'm going to make you a mouthpiece just to repeat what I want you to say. So Hashem gave him, for that momentarily, he gave him a prophecy that only in the history of the world, only Moshe Rabbeinu prophesized like that. And Hashem gave him a special level of prophecy to be the mouthpiece of Hashem, to say directly the way that Hashem said it. And therefore, he did reach a higher level of prophecy than any other prophet. But it wasn't because he was on the higher levels, because Hashem raised him up in order to use him as a puppet, that he should be able to be the mouthpiece to bring out the message. But for that day, he was a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Maral Diskin says. Let's give all the gapshat. Okay? But this is the difference between Nevuas Moshe and the Nevuah of all the Nevi'im. Avram Avinu, in this week's parasha, received the Nevuah, but it was a Nevuah that had to go through the world. It was a Nevuah that ended up Avram. There was a psik between the two Avrahams. And therefore, the way he heard it wasn't exactly the way it was said, and that's the Nisayon of Avram. But keep in mind, that means that our Neshama does travels through all the worlds. Now, there's on the same note as the Nefesh HaChaim, as Ruach HaChaim, there's a piece in this week's parasha from the Meshech Chochma. And the Meshech Chochma uses this concept to say the following. It says, you know that we say that by a non-Jew, there's a big difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. It says, if a Jew has a machshava to do a mitzvah, if he has a thought to do a mitzvah and it doesn't end up working out, he still gets schar as if he did the mitzvah. But if he has the thought to do an avera and he didn't end up doing the avera, he doesn't get punished. By a non-Jew, it's the opposite. If he had thought to do a mitzvah, he didn't do it, he doesn't get reward. If he had thought to do an avera and he didn't do it, he gets punished. So he says, why is that true? Why is that true? So the Meshech Chochma writes, he says like this, I'm going to read it to you. He says, why is that true? He says, Achabir, ki behimostro Yitzchak es nafsho al kiddush Hashem, because when Yitzchak went through the Akedah, ume'az v'hala, and from that moment on, hukba l'teva kayom b'uma Yisraelis, it became a nature, the tendency of a Jew to give up his whole mitzias just for the Ratzon Hashem. Like the way the Nefesh HaChaim, the way of Rav Lashon are saying. It became part of our nature that we're willing to give up everything for the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, lihimoshech, to follow achrei Ratzon HaShkacha, to follow the Ratzon Hashem. Me'oy mekaleh, from the depths of our heart. Okay? Ad ki ka'is yukshel Nefesh HaYisraeli. He says, and that's our part. Lachain, therefore, if you tried to do a mitzvah and you couldn't do it, he says, once a yid has a machshava to do a mitzvah, he says, if he did it, because that's really who he is. Since that's really who he is, you tapped into your real nefesh, your real ratzon, that became our ratzon. Our ratzon means that the deepest thing that we want to do is the ratzon Hashem. And that became part of our nature when? In this week's parasha of the Akedah. The Akedah was mechadish in the Jewish people that the deepest ratzon we have is to do the ratzon Hashem more than to live. The ratzon to do mitzvahs is deeper than the ratzon to live. And therefore, if a person gets to the point that he has a ratzon, he has a will to do a mitzvah, that's truly his biggest ratzon. And if something happened along the way that stopped it, we know that the ratzon to do the mitzvah was deeper than the ratzon than what happened to make him stop it. And therefore, he tapped into a deeper place and he gets rewarded for that. That's what Nefesh HaChaim says. So anyway, that's the lesson. So this is how the Akedah, this is why the Akedah Yitzchak is so significant. You know, we talk about it all the time. Why is it important? It's important because this changed our nature, changed who we are, and it put in us this nature to be able to have the Ratzon to do mitzvahs. Okay? So.
Rabbi, but that doesn't explain why the goyim get punished for doing...